Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. Tonight's message is called Cheer Up, and I believe it's a message from God to you. This afternoon I was praying more about the message, and God very much confirmed to me that there are people out there who needed to hear from Him these words, Cheer Up. He wants you to be comforted, to be encouraged, and to be urged to live godly and holy lives, because He is coming back again, and there is reason for us to have hope. Our future is very bright if we believe in Jesus Christ. Regardless of what's going on right now in our lives, the future is that Jesus wins, that He comes back, and He takes us to be with Him forever in heaven. And there's not a better message than that for someone who's depressed or someone who's discouraged, because Jesus really is going to come back and be there for us. I want to talk tonight about how when our faith does become sight, because right now we believe in things, and at some point in the future, we are actually going to see with our eyes what we have believed in our hearts all along. And that'll be a great day. And I think you'll look forward to some of these stories. Before I get to it, I just wanted to share this. I got this on the internet this week. This was a Y2K project update, speaking of the future. And I thought you'd be encouraged by this as well. This is a Y2K project update. It says, our staff has completed the 18 months of work on time and on budget. We have gone through every line of code and every program and every system. We have analyzed all the databases, all data files, including backups and historic archives, and modified all data to reflect the change. We are proud to report that we have completed the Y2K date change mission and have now implemented all changes to all programs and all data to reflect your new standards. So here are the new standards. Instead of January, we will now have Januark. Instead of February, Februark. March and April will remain the same. May will become Mac. June will remain the same. July will become Julk. And August through December will be the same. As well as Sunday is now Sundak, Mundak, Tuesdak, Wednesdak, Thursdak, Fridak, and Saturdak. I trust that this is satisfactory, because to be honest, none of this Y to K problem has made any sense to me. But I understand it is a global problem, and our team is glad to help in any way possible. And what does the year 2000 have to do with it? Speaking of which, what do you think we ought to do next year when the two-digit year rolls over from 99 to 00? We'll await your direction. The future holds many things for us, and Y2K is just one of them. You get the joke, right? I mean, the Y has changed to a K, Mundak, Tuesday. Anyway, our future, though, as Christians, is very certain and very positive. We can be so sure of what we are going to be like in the future and what we're going to do in the future that we can know here on earth, and the Bible tells us that we can know for sure that we will be with Jesus one day in heaven. And so I'm going to get to that at the end of the program, but first I want to encourage you in your faith. If you've been struggling this week or this month or in the past few months, I want to encourage you that what you believe in your heart about Christ and His coming back, and what you believe in your heart about the Bible and any promises God has made to you from it, those are true, and God will fulfill what He said He will fulfill. I want you to read some scriptures that I've typed out for you on the screen, and you'll find them under the highlight that says Message Notes. And if you'll click on Message Notes, you'll be able to pull up some scriptures. I'm going to play a little bit on the piano, and I just want you to read those scriptures and ask God to speak to you, not only through His Word, but through the message tonight as we continue on talking about Cheer Up. I got a phone call today from a man who had been struggling with some things in his life and had been going through a very dark time. In fact, you may be watching tonight, and I'm glad for you, because his phone call was one of joy and one of breakthrough. He said God had done it. God had broken the dam that was holding him back and had poured out his peace upon him. And I was asking him about this peace, and he said, It is indescribable. In fact, I'll probably spend the rest of my life trying to describe the peace that I feel today. And I have seen this happen in life after life, even the last few weeks, to know that this is the peace of God that passes understanding. And it comes upon us as God comes upon us. And in his words, he said it was as he surrendered to God his entire life. He had given his life to Christ many years ago, but there were things he had still held back from God. And he surrendered everything today. And when he did, God filled him with a life that gives a power and a strength and a joy and a peace. And really, I believe, cheered him up. And I think will cheer you up as well when you experience the same peace. Last year, my wife and I and our family, we were going through a time of transition. And we were walking by faith. It was definitely a faith walk. And we couldn't see very far in front of us. Jesus was guiding us, and we were walking right behind him, but we couldn't necessarily see all the things around us. But we believed in our hearts that God had spoken to us and what he wanted us to do next and what he was calling us to do. And there was a day that I was reading my Bible, and it was early in the morning, and all of a sudden I saw the light come in through the window. And as the sunlight started to fill the room and make everything lighter, all of a sudden I just started thinking about how I've seen the sun. The sun is shining. I know that what God has told me is true, and in fact, it's coming true. I see it around me. I see it manifest in my life, and I see that the promises he has made to me are now coming true in my life. And I came over to the piano, and I started writing a song that was called I've Seen the Sun. And I was singing about how I've seen the sun, and I've seen the sun, and I know what it feels like. I feel its power. I feel its rays. It's marking every day and every hour. And as I continued to sing, it struck me that the sun has always been there. The sun has always been shining, and the clouds were blocking my view at times, but it didn't affect the fact that the sun was still shining. And as I started to sing the second refrain and the third refrain, I realized that I've seen the sun meant more than just the physical sun that we see with our eyes. It means the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. And I sang, I've seen the sun. I know his name. He died for me. And then he rose again. I've seen the sun. And just like we've seen the sun before in our lives, we've seen the sun shining in the sky, we know that it's there just as sure as we know anything. Because if the sun weren't there, even though we can't see it, you can be sure we'd be flung out of orbit and die instantly. It's the same way with the Son of God. If Jesus Christ were not there, seated at the right hand of God, you can be sure that we would be flung out of orbit and we would die instantly. The Bible says that God holds everything together in his hands. It says that our very life and breath is in his hands. And if he weren't there, you can bet that our life and breath would be snuffed out immediately. So we can be assured, just like we know the sun's in the sky, because we're still here, God is still there because we're still here. The fact that we are still around at all means God is still there. And he's still there for you. I share that because there is a time in my point two of the outline when our faith will become sight. I've listed some scriptures there, and if you want to look those up on your own as we talk, that would be great, and you can read along with me. But I'm going to read them from my Bible here. And I want to tell you that what we believe in our hearts will be what we see with our eyes. And one of those things is we believe that we will one day see Jesus. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 13:12. It says, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. A similar thing in 1 John 3:2 talks about how we will see Jesus. 1 John 3:2 says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. That means what we will be in the future in heaven. We're not sure what we will be, but we do know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There will be a day when we will be transformed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to be like Christ, and we will see him as he is, no more like a dim reflection, no more by our faith only, but with our eyes, with our sight, it will match up with our faith. What a great day that's going to be for us. That should cheer up anyone who believes in Jesus Christ. This is a fact that we can know. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you can be assured, even today, as you watch this, I will tell you how you can be assured that you will go to heaven, that you will have eternal life. If you have, at some point in your life, made this decision to believe in Christ, then you can be assured, and we can pray for you today. If you don't have that assurance in your heart that one day you will see Christ as well, that you have eternal life, we can pray for that today, because the Bible promises that we can know for sure that we are going to heaven. And that in itself will bring a peace that is unmistakable, a peace that will carry you through any kind of storm. Listen to the words of 1 John as he writes about the same point. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. John, a good friend of Jesus, wrote these things down. And he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. John felt so strongly about this that he dedicates chapter 5 of his book of 1 John to this topic of wanting us to know and be assured that we have eternal life. John knew that that would make a difference in your life, and he wanted to assure the people that he was writing to. And God wants to assure us because he's preserved that letter even 2,000 years later so that we can read it today, so we can know that we have eternal life, that we can know that there's something to look forward to, that regardless of what things look like in this life, there is something coming up that will be greater than any of us can even imagine. I've heard it said from Keith Green that God created the world in 6 days. He can't imagine what heaven will be like because Jesus said over 2,000 years ago, I am going to prepare a place for you. Now, if he created this whole world in 6 days, imagine what heaven is like if he's been working on that for over 2,000 years. It's going to be beyond our wildest dreams, beyond anything we can imagine. And we will see it with our eyes. We can have that assurance. Point three, and my final point of this portion of the message, is to hold on to your faith. It's worth more than gold. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Peter says, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Peter saying, your faith is worth more than gold. It's of greater worth than gold. Gold perishes in fire. But faith will endure from now till the end of time. Though you have not seen him, Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's what this man today was experiencing when he called. He said, he was filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy because he was receiving the goal of his faith, the salvation of his soul. He was beginning to experience it, to know it, to be assured of it deep in his heart that he will be saved and he will have a purpose. He will have a future. And he was expressing today how he realizes now that he has a purpose here on this earth as well. And he had known that years ago, but he'd lost that over time. And now he knows that again, that God has a purpose for him. God has a use for him. And that is the case for every one of us. God created you for a purpose. He loves you. He needs you. He wants you to be part of his plan. And he wants you to know what that part is. We'll pray for that tonight too, that God will know these things and God will bless you. God will continue to show how much he loves you and how much he needs you, how much he cares about you. There's a quote in the movie of It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, where they talked about faith, and they said something about faith was believing in things that you have no idea whether they're really true or not. Well, that's not the case. Faith is no obscure adventure. It is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Look at Hebrews 1:11. What a difference this is than just a blind faith where you just say, gosh, I really hope it works out. I just really hope things work out in the future. I hope what God says is true. That's just a blind faith. That's a faith in the concept of faith alone, but it's not faith in Christ. It's not faith in what God has said. This is what faith is according to the Bible. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. God wants you to be sure of what you're hoping for. He wants you to be certain of what you do not see. That's nothing obscure. That is a rock-solid thing we can stand on. Hebrews 13:8 talks about Jesus Christ and how he does not change. Just like the sun does not change from day to day, the sun is the same every day, regardless of how it looks to us. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the same today as he was yesterday, as he was 2,000 years ago, and as he will be 10,000 years into the future. And as the song says, even though we'll be praising God for 10,000 years, we'll have only just begun to praise God because we'll be with him forever. That's a fourth verse of Amazing Grace. It's one of my favorite verses of any song because it gives us such a hope for what the future holds. I want to come back after I play this song for you and just talk briefly about how to get this faith in Christ. If you don't have it, if you don't have this peace that this man experienced today, I want to talk about that just briefly and just pray with you, just a deep prayer that God would do a work. Because God today confirmed to me that this was the message he wanted you to hear, this message called Cheer Up. And that means to encourage you and to comfort you and to urge you on in the faith that he's called you to have. So stick with me. After I play this song, I want to pray with you. This is called I've Seen the Sun. And if you want to just sit back and just close your eyes and look up at God and just say, God, I want to receive this. I want to believe this in my life. I want to see the sun as well, and I want to know that you're still there. And God, I believe, will do that for you as you listen and as you pray to him. I love that song. In fact, I'd love to sing it. But I'll save that for another time. But God just wants you to cheer up, and He wants to say, the sun is still there, shining bright. The Son of God is still there, shining bright, and He loves you very much. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you can come to know Him personally, even today as you watch this. It's a simple matter, really, but it means surrendering your whole life to Him. And some people just don't want to do that. There's a quote by Madame Curie that says, surrender is plunging your will into the depths of God's will, there to be lost forever. God wants you to take your will and just plunge it into His and just say, God, let your Spirit take over my life. Let your Spirit come and so control me that I no longer have a will of my own. I just pray that that would happen to you. I pray that surrender, that desire for that surrender would be there. I shared that with one man, and he heard the same speaker say the same thing that I heard. And I said, wasn't that great about plunging your will into the depths of God's will? And he said, that scared me to death. I hate that. I don't want to do that. And that is our response sometimes, but God loves it. It's so beautiful to Him. It puts a smile on His face. If you would like to do that, you simply need to do three things. One is repent of your sins. Anything that you've done in your life that you know is not pleasing to God, God will forgive you of that. You simply need to repent, which means turn away from those sins and tell Jesus that you're sorry. And two is to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came to die on the cross. He died a death that you actually should have had and I should have had, because the penalty for any sin is death. And instead of getting the death penalty, God, in His grace and mercy, sent Jesus to pay that penalty for us. It doesn't come automatically, though. Jesus says, not everyone will get this, but only those who believe in my name. So that's the third one, is to receive Jesus Christ. One, repent of your sins. Two, believe that Jesus died for your sins. And three, just receive the forgiveness of God and ask Jesus to come into your life. Let the Holy Spirit take over your will and let Him live through your life. When you surrender all of your life that way, you will be flooded with a peace that passes understanding, and you don't have to take control anymore because you've got someone who knows control better than anyone, because He created your body, your will, your life, and everything around you. If you'd like to do that, I want to pray with you, and then I'm going to pray for the believers out there who just need reassurance, and also those who are just struggling to cheer up, and I just want to pray that God will cheer them up even tonight. Lord, I thank You for this message and for this time, and just that You would speak to the people that need to hear a message of cheering up. I know it's cheered me and Lana up just talking about it today. And I just pray that anyone who needs to believe in Jesus today would do it right now, that they would simply say these words after me. It's a simple prayer, and the words aren't as important as what's in your heart, that you would repent and believe and receive Jesus Christ into your life. Just repeat after me. Dear God, I am sorry for my sins. I realize now that I deserve death. But I thank You, God, that You would give me life instead. Because I believe that Jesus died in my place so that I could be forgiven and come clean to You. I ask Him now to come into my heart and to take over my life, plunging my will into Your will, there to be lost forever. I do this right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. And God rejoices, and it says in the Bible that the angels rejoice over one sinner who repents and comes to Christ. So the angels are rejoicing in heaven even right now. If you're watching this later, if you're watching it live right now, or if you're watching it 2 years from now as it's stored still out on a server somewhere, I pray that God would speak to you through this message and would save you. Now, for those who just need reassurance, the Bible is true. And what John said was true, that we can know for sure we have eternal life. Again, the words from 1 John 5:13. Look them up and read them over and over if you need this. Read that whole chapter over and over. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Lord, I just pray right now for anyone who needs that assurance that they will know for sure that they have eternal life because they believe in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Lord, pour it out right now by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, not without any fanfare or any music, but simply by the Spirit of God, I pray you would demonstrate your power right now, God. Fill them with your peace. Fill them with your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. And now for you who simply need to be cheered up today, you just need to know that there's a reason to live, a reason to go on, and even if you're not in that dramatic of a situation, you just need some hope for tomorrow because it's just a frustrating life sometimes. I pray that God, right now, you would cheer them up. You would cheer them up in their very soul. You would comfort them, encourage them, equip them. Let me stop right here and just give you a final note of what God did today to speak this to me. I was asking God about this message, and God said to call it cheer up. And I said, God, that's not even in the Bible anywhere. Where would that be about cheer up? And could you give me a verse to confirm that? And in my head, the words Thessalonians 2:12 came to mind. And I was like, 2:12? 1:12? I don't even know. 1 Thessalonians? 2 Thessalonians? Regardless, I just wrote it down. Thessalonians 2:12, 1:12. I wrote it in my journal. And then I said, okay, I'm going to look it up. And I look up, and there is no 1:12. So I look up Thessalonians 2:12. And here's what it says. It's in the middle of a sentence. And the words start with the word encourage. Encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of the call that God has on your life. And I thought, well, encouragement and comfort, those are good words. I'm not sure if that's cheer exactly, but I looked up in my computer the word cheer and found these words in the thesaurus. Here were all the words, but the first two are these words, comfort and encouragement, for the word cheer. Two of the words that are in here, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. Let me read them all because this is what God wants you to have today. Cheer, comfort, encouragement, solace, reassurance, optimism, gaiety, animation, cheerfulness, delight, fun, gladness, glee, merriment, mirth, cheering, applause, bravo, yell, hurrah, hooray. These are the words for cheer, and they start off with encouragement and comfort. And I believe God wanted me to urge you to live lives that were worthy of the call of God on your life. God wants you to cheer up, and he wants you to do it now. And it's not a mandate for you so much as it is what he wants to do in you and what the Holy Spirit can do in you and is available to us, because one day our faith and our sight will be the same, and we will see Jesus as he is, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Cheer up. If you'd like to talk more, we'll be on this chat room at the ranch after the live broadcast. Just find it on the Talk to Someone page. If you would like to write me during the week, you can email me at pokey@theranch.org. And if you'd like to find me on ICQ, that's a software program that you can find me in whether I'm online during the day. And I'd be glad to talk and chat with you live during the day as well, so that we can just pray and encourage one another in the Lord and what the Lord's doing. One final note, the music that I played tonight and even this message, I've included on a new piece of music and a devotional that I've written. I'm putting these on the website. These are available to you freely, so that you can simply get encouragement and point your friends to the website as well. But if you would be interested in helping our ministry and taking this ministry to other people as well and expanding it, we're going to be offering these CDs for a suggested donation of $15 or so to the ministry. And it's the same thing that you'd find on the website with the music and with a devotional that includes some of these stories as well as the songs that I've been using on the show. And if you would just email me at pokey@theranch.org, and we'd be glad to hear from you just to express your support in what we're doing, as well as to expand what we're doing. So I'd be glad to make that available to you, and as we help you and you help us, we can take the body of Christ forward until Jesus comes again. Thanks again for coming, and I hope you'll join us in the chat room after the live broadcast, or join me next week on our next message live from the ranch.